ويا مرة قلت لي أنا خلت تتعرفت مياه Good morning, colleagues.
Good morning.
Morning, Chairperson.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Member.
Morning, President.
Yeah, good morning. We are already 1 minute out of time. I am to start another meeting, Honorable Tseke. At the time when we make presentation, please take over the meeting because we are having another meeting here of the provinces in Gauteng. But let me open the meeting and welcome everybody. I must say just comments that I want to make that I really need to thank all of you for the work that you've done thus far. Of course, there are still challenges here and there, but we are...
We only had you... Chairperson.
Yeah. I'm listening to you. What are you saying? Okay, I'm struggling to hear me. Hello?
Chair, the only one who does have a problem of network. We are fine.
Okay. Fine with you, Chair. Oh, but I know the
problem.
Oh, thank you. So in my first step, I'm not telling you. I end up strongest now. Okay, I was saying that we really need to just thank ourselves for the work done thus far. Of course, we've got quite a lot of challenges, the ESCOM and all other things, but as a committee, I'm sure we've done well. We must thank one another. We're towards the end of our term. Let's work towards uniting the committee in order for it to give a proper handover to the incoming committee. With that in mind, you are welcome into the meeting. May we observe a moment of silence for meditation and for prayer. Thank you very much. No, any other apology that you have, Nasipho?
Only the apology for the Minister, Chairperson. TM Tshabalala is leading the delegation that is on.
Thank you very much. Is there any other apology that you have not registered, the members?
Chairperson, can we check what is the apology for the Minister for? Thank you.
No, but in any way, the minister comes here by invite. If he's not coming, it's fine. If it is a committee, he's not a member of the committee. Is there any other person with an apology that we do not know? None. Okay. Let's get to item 4, briefing by the Department of Water and Sanitation on the second quarter expenditure report 2023-2024. Again. Yeah, am I with us? Colleagues, what is wrong?
You're coming through fine, Chairperson. I don't know what's happening with some people's connections, but you've been coming through perfectly fine the whole time.
So, yeah, Mr. Are you? Can you hear me? Yeah. Honorable Seke?
Yes, Chair, I can hear you. I'm not quite sure what's happening with CM Chabalala's gadget. Maybe let's allow. Yeah, the DG, I think, is connected.
Yeah, but remember, the political head must introduce the DG to speak to us.
Comrade Chair, let's allow DG to make the presentation on behalf of the department while DM Chabalala there trying to sort out input. Then we'll comment at the end of the DG's presentation. Thank you.
Hey, that's what we need, the Honorable Marshal Wasambu, just to give that permission. DG?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members.
Just a minute. Honourable Seke, in the meantime, continue the meeting. I'm starting another meeting.
Today we are presenting on the second quarter report of the Department of Water and Sanitation against our annual performance plan. Next slide, please. This slide just provides the content, which is standard. We report on the same content at all the meetings. All the meetings, sorry, which focus on our quarterly performance information and financial expenditure information. I'm going to give a brief executive summary, an introduction, and then I'm going to hand over to Babawa, our head of performance monitoring in the department. And then she's going to hand over to our CFO, Frans Moatse, to talk to the honourable members about our expenditure for that quarter. In introduction, we've just put some points about key progress that we've made in the last quarter, in the quarter under review. During that quarter, we finalised the Water Services Amendment Bill and the National Water Amendment Bill. And they were approved by Cabinet for gazetting for public consultation. They will be gazetted shortly. We're just finalising some of the necessary approvals before we, from organisations like the State Law Advisor, before issuing for public consultation. We also reached a major milestone in that the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency Bill was tabled in Parliament. The long, very long overdue Clanwilliam Dam, which is very important for the economy of the Western Cape, was finally launched and gotten underway with the major construction works for the dam. It's been delayed for a long time due to changes in approaches to how the project would be implemented, partly related to the high degree of turnover of leadership in the department. And also challenges with procurement for the our internal construction unit, which is doing the work. But we've resolved all of those challenges. The contracts are in place now, and as we saw last week with the launch, the heavy construction work is now going on at the dam. to raise the dam wall at Clan William Dam. And there's a similar situation at Sunin Dam, which is also underway under construction. Another very important highlight for the department and for Gauteng and surrounding provinces was the launch of phase two of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, which is also a project which has been delayed for many years for various reasons. But we are very pleased that we were finally able to launch it and that all the major contracts were awarded and the construction work is currently underway in the highlands of Lesotho. This project is essential for relieving the water shortages in Gauteng, and it's essential that we bring additional water into the integrated Vaal River system so that Rand Water can extract more water and treat more water and supply more water, treated water, to the municipalities in Gauteng. We have also completed the full Blue Drop report, which is due for 2023. You will hear from Babawa that that is one of our targets, which wasn't met for the second quarter, but it is going to be released now in November. There were some delays with finalizing it, with doing the detailed consultations that we do with all municipalities to give them a chance to verify and to contest the results of the Blue Drop report. But all of that is completed now. We will be launching the Blue Drop report during November. And we will also at the same time release our interim Green Drop report. And then we will also issue the No Drop report by the end of November as well. For all of those drop reports, all the necessary assessment work has been completed with the municipalities. And the reports are finalized and will be released this month. We've also still been focusing on our very important target of improving the turnaround time for the processing of water use licenses. We've reported previously to the committee that we've had a number of initiatives to improve our processing times for water use licenses, including business process re-engineering of our processes, training of our staff, improvement of our IT system. But the final step in the path to meeting the President's target of processing water use licenses within 90 days was to address our capacity constraints. And in that regard, during the last quarter, we hired 94 technical staff to assist our regional officers with the processing of the water use licenses, which should go a long way to helping us get closer to the President's 90-day target for all the water use license applications. Another key priority for us is to revise the World Water Pricing Strategy, which has also been a long time in the making. There was a public consultation process which was finalised, and after the public consultation process, we took into account the views of, that we received from the various organisations and people who have consulted on the draft pricing strategy. And we also have had a series of engagements with officials at National Treasury and also with members of our regulator commission, the advisory body which the minister appointed to advise him on regulatory matters. So we've reached a high level of consensus, we think, and we've now submitted the revised World Water Pricing Strategy to officials at National Treasury to give us final comments before our minister formally submits it to the Minister of Finance for concurrence. One of the key activities that we've been focusing on for many years, which was also delayed for a number of years, is the requirement in the National Water Act was to create catchment management agencies. And that process is finally now reaching conclusion. Five out of the total of six catchment management agencies are now listed in the PSMA, and the required documentation for listing the sixth one has been submitted to National Treasury. Board appointment process has been finalized for two of the new CMAs. So two CMAs are already in place. Board appointment process has been finalized for another two of the new CMAs and submitted to Cabinet for approval. And we're busy with the remaining processes for the establishment of the other two CMAs and the appointment of their boards. So our target is by the end of this financial year to have this, all six CMAs in place and for us finally to have met that requirement of the National Water Act to have CMAs operating and doing catchment management work all over the country. One of our other key priorities that we've been focusing on for a long time as the department is to transform the irrigation boards into water user associations. This is a key priority from a transformation point of view, and we, if the department has been very slow in this regard, but during the quarter under review, the minister took a decisive step to issue a directive to all irrigation boards to submit transformation proposals within a deadline, and that has resulted in a marked increase in the number of submissions of transformation proposals from irrigation boards to be transformed into water user associations. So we're very pleased to note that there's been a significant uptick in progress on this key strategic priority for us to transform the irrigation boards into water user associations. Honourable members will know from previous meetings that one of the priorities of the minister has been to reconfigure the water boards. That process is now nearing completion. All the decisions were finalised. In the last quarter, the reconfigurations for two of the water boards were gazetted, and the remaining four will be gazetted before the end of the financial year. We've also been focusing on improving our revenue collection and reducing our debtors book, and that has included the introduction of an incentive scheme with repayment agreements. This applies to debts owed by the customers of the Department of our water trading entity in terms of the sale of well water. And then, as before, the Minister has been putting a lot of time and effort into supporting and engaging municipalities and intervening in municipalities to address deficiencies with water services provision at municipal level. In particular, in the last quarter, we were focused on engagement with Etegwini, with Tshwane, Johannesburg, and Ekurhuleni and Rand Water with regard to the problems with regard to the supply of water in Gauteng. Another major focus area of progress which took place in the last quarter is the launch of the Bulela Netsi program by the Minister in the Northwest Province to improve the reliability of water supply, again addressing municipal water services issues in the Northwest Province, reorientating grant funding from underperforming municipalities, reprioritize them to the most important projects that need to be done to get water service delivery improved in Northwest, and then closely working with municipalities and monitoring to ensure that those projects are implemented and that progress is made. There's also been good progress with another project which has been delayed for a very long time, which is the Londoni and Sami pipeline and the related supply of water to Diani in Limpopo. During the last quarter, we achieved practical completion of the Londoni and Sami pipeline. And also, we've been working very closely with Mopani District Municipality. Construction work is underway to upgrade the district municipality's water treatment works. And then also, we're providing Mopani District Municipality with very substantial grant funding from our infrastructure grants to assist it to put in place the necessary distribution infrastructure for that additional water that's coming from the Nandoni and Sami pipeline then to be distributed to households in Giani, to households who've never had household connections or have had limited water supply in the past. So there's been good progress in that regard. Mopani District Municipalities currently has a large number of contractors appointed and work is underway to put in place that distribution infrastructure. Similarly, in Ugu District Municipality in KZN, which has been a major focus of the Minister in terms of supporting and intervening at municipal level, there has been practical completion of water supply projects in the last quarter. And then finally, we've also been focusing on making further progress in reducing our under expenditure as a department. Members will recall that 2 years ago, our under expenditure was almost 2 billion. Last financial year, we reduced it to 800 million. And this year, we want to reduce it to zero. One of the key things that we're doing in that regard is to improve our infrastructure procurement as a department and to introduce more strategic and modern methods of infrastructure procurement, of course, within the Treasury regulations. But actually, this approach to infrastructure procurement is encouraged by a National Treasury through the Framework for Infrastructure Procurement and Delivery Management, which Treasury has issued, and also through the various guidelines on infrastructure procurement issued by the Construction Industry Development Board. So I think the key change that we've introduced is to actually utilize all of those guidelines from the CIDB and from National Treasury and to improve our infrastructure procurement in terms of that guidelines, and it's bearing fruit. We will see increasingly over this year and over next year, we will see increasingly that our construction units will become more efficient and it will have reduced downtime due to problems with procurement in terms of procuring supplies and materials and equipment for the work that it needs to do. So basically, that's a summary of key areas of progress that we made in the last quarter. Now I'd like to hand over to Bavawa to take us through the detailed reporting of performance against the indicators and targets in the ADP for the quarter.
Thank you, PG. Good morning to the members, the DM, and colleagues. And the slide is just a comparison of the achievement for the quarter against the department's ATP, which is currently sitting at 55%, and the expenditure, which is currently sitting at 46%. I would just like to highlight that there's an improvement compared to the performance, financial performance in particular, compared to the previous financial year, and the CFO will be talking into detail about that one. Slide 8, it's just an indication per program of the performance, how much has been achieved, and partially and not achieved per program and sub-programs, the three programs that we have in the department. But if you go to slide 9, just an indication of the department's progress in implementing the 2022 preferential procurement requirements. And this indicates that our procurement from small, medium, micro enterprises is at 38% by the end of the second quarter. And from exempted micro enterprises, it was at 23%, with qualifying small enterprises at 15%. The next slide indicates our procurement from designated groups. Our total procurement by the end of the second quarter was 4.7 billion, and 44% of that procurement went to black-owned companies with 50% ownership, and amounting to 2 billion. Women procurement was at 2.5 billion by the end of the term. Procurement from youth companies, 596 million, and procurement from persons with disabilities companies was at 71 million. If you then go to the next slide, it indicates the program performance. Just highlighting that analysis, areas of annual achievement, and also details on areas of partial and non-achievement. Slide 12 is just an indication of the programs that are in Program 1, just to draw your attention that that sub-program, provincial and international coordination, achieved 100% of their milestones, with corporate services achieving 75%, and departmental management and financial management achieving 50% and 29% respectively. If you look at slide 13, it is the highlight, some of which the DG mentioned in his opening remarks without repeating what he said, indicating what we did, a program, and areas of achievement in that one. And if you go to slide 14, the two areas that are affected in this one, within the risk management and also the vacancy rate, it's that risk maturity. We're just working on it. We are planning to complete it in this third quarter. And the DG also explained a lot about what we're doing and the post that we've filled subsequent to the end of the term regarding vacancy rates for engineers and scientists. If you look at qualifying small enterprises within the main and water trading account, it's just a slight underachievement. They were not met for the quarter. But if you look at it cumulatively, we should be able to meet our targets by the end of the financial year. The CFO will be talking into length about our expenditure. It is just 1% below as what we had planned, but it is not. It's still an improvement compared to the previous financial year. Also, the DG explained what we're doing about improving our data days to achieve our 150 days as we try to recover the debts that we have. If we're looking at the second program, three of the sub-programs achieved 100% of what was planned. The other four achieved at least 50% and 46% and 67%. So it is also slightly above what we had had in the previous years. If you look at the second program achievements, slide 18 and 19, it is several of the activities that we had as our program. Similar to what the DG mentioned, the key highlights within the program, and that goes over to slide 19, which also indicates the achievements within the regulation space, institutional oversight that the DG mentioned in his opening remarks, and also policy initiatives that we achieved during the quarter. If you look at slide 20, this is just talking to our gauging stations that we had planned to construct and refurbish. Yeah, it looks like we have not met. We just going through environmental authorization process by the relevant authority. And as soon as that is obtained, we should be able to achieve what we had planned by the end of the financial year. Slide 21 talks to several of the projects that the DG mentioned also, in terms of having them at implementation readiness phase and also under construction. You see that they were somewhat affected by some investigations, additional investigations and plans that we had to do. But as he had mentioned, those blockages have been unblocked, and we should be underway to accelerate and meet our planned targets by the end of the quarter. In terms of our scheduled maintenance, we just had some misalignment issues. We introduced a maintenance system in the department. There were just misalignment in terms of completing the projects and recording them in the system. But as soon as that misalignment has been corrected, we should be able to improve our performance and achieve our target by the end of the period. We also have got dams that we own as a department. They were affected by procurement issues and just delaying some of our construction. But the DG also mentioned that there are several infrastructure procurement initiatives that we're implementing. And with those unblockages, conditions, we should be able to accelerate and obtain the requisite material. This is also the same in terms of conveyance system. I would not want to repeat also affected by procurement, but that is also planned that with those unblockages in infrastructure procurement, we should be able to meet our planned targets. In terms of the bill, also, this is what the DG mentioned. We had a plan to achieve those for public consultation, but subsequent to that, as in the DG's opening remarks, they've been approved, and we are on track to be meeting the planned milestones. In terms of water resources and regulation, several of our systems should have been monitored. There were just glitches in terms of obtaining data from the respective areas. There is a plan to obtain that data, and we should be able to achieve that. Also, in the DG's opening remarks, we were struggling because we're using the same officials to do other functions as also water authorization. But with the appointment of the 94 people, we should be able to have dedicated resources to achieve the planned targets. Also, water users compliance and investigations also were just had capacity issues, which we should be able, when it is released from the water use authorization process, those can be recovered in the water, and we should be able to meet our targets. The DG mentioned issues regarding the green job delays, but you heard in his opening remarks that we should be able to publish the report in the subsequent term. Slide 26 talks to the monitoring and also that we should have done in verification and validation of the users. In that, it's just slight underperformance. We should be able to recover those in the third quarter. Then we go to water services performance. The one program that achieved its deliverables, all of them, is water services regulation, and others achieved 70%, 50%, and 30%. And the areas of partial and non-achievement are sitting in water services infrastructure grant and also within our policy space. If you look at slide 28, we had a total of 76 infrastructure projects under construction, and those will be disaggregated in the province in the subsequent slide. And also, we are indicating 217 water services infrastructure projects were under construction, also disaggregated to province. Assessments in terms of our institutions, the DG mentioned all the activities we're having within the water services institutions, which is our water board. So that is one of the deliverables we had. Slide 29 is just a disaggregation of the projects we had. Slight delays experienced, just 10 below what they planned to have for the regional valve infrastructure project. But as the DG mentioned, we should be able to accelerate in consultation with the affected services authorities. Also, our completion rate is slightly below our plan, with the several provinces highlighted there, which are currently in the red. But we should also be liaising with the respective water services authority to accelerate and complete the project as planned so that we can meet our target. Within the water services infrastructure grant space, they are also just made some delays within mainly in the Eastern Cape and Gauteng, and other projects also affected by in Limpopo. This also it is procurement within the municipal space which caused this delay and also affecting our completion rate. And as I've indicated, we we are liaising with the respective municipalities, accelerate these procurement processes, and so that we can meet our targets as planned. For the quota in question, we had additional 3 interventions that were implemented in the 6 states, Machabeng and Maluti Apofung, and also 1 in Sibande in the Mpumalanga space. And that now indicates over and above what the DG mentioned in the metro. This is in the district municipalities where we are intervening. So it is our contribution to the municipalities that are actually failing. I'm not going to go into detail onto the note drop. The DG explained this in his opening remarks, so it should actually be on track in the quarter. Also, we should be able to achieve this because there was just delays in obtaining information from the respective municipalities. That is, we should be able to obtain them in the 3rd quarter. And in terms of developing this reliability plan, we should be on track to achieve our targets. Similarly, with the fecal sludge, it is just the approval process that is underway, and that should be obtained actually in the 3rd quarter. Slide 31 is just a disaggregation of what I mentioned in slide 29. It is just a consolidation in terms of numbers and where those projects are in terms of mega, large and small. I have explained that I'm not going to repeat it. Also, slide 32 is also indicating there's just 1 project in terms of the budget for facility infrastructure that has not been started, but the contract has been subsequently the contractor appointment has been finalized, and that project should be underway during the 3rd quarter. And also another issue here is just also an indication of the numbers in terms of water services infrastructure grants and the completion. So I mentioned that our bucket eradication program, still a bulk infrastructure that is being finalized, particularly in the Free State. And as soon as that has been finalized, we should be able to connect these 4,128 bulk sanitation systems to a wastewater treatment work. The last one that is talking to policy, it is the bill. The DG also mentioned this, that we should be on track because in this quarter they have been approved by cabinet. So also, he also mentioned in terms of reconfiguration of the water board that we are now on track to meet the target as planned. Thank you, Chairperson and DG. I will help the CFO with the financial.
Thank you very much. Good morning to the chairperson, portfolio committee members, Deputy Minister Chabalala, Deputy Minister Kasowo, DG and colleagues. Chairperson, I'll be taking the committee through the financial performance for the period ended in 30 September, reflecting on cumulative figures. To start on the presentation, Chairperson, the budget of the department has been adjusted downward by 881 million from the appropriation of 22.2 billion to 21 billion. These were the mandatory budget cuts that were applied across government. Program 1 is 48 million, 331 million for Program 2, and 501 for Program 3. The total spending for the period ended 30 September is 9.7 billion, which is 46% of the total adjusted appropriation of 21 billion. In terms of economic classification, the compensation of employees, the spending is at 49%, and that includes 10% the adjustment that was made of 63 million to fund the 23-24 financial year wage increase agreement, and this fund has been prioritized from our operational budget, including, amongst other savings, realized from the implementation of cost containment measures. Also on goods and services, the spending up to September is 49%, and part of the budget that we have adjusted downward from operational budget was to fund the salary increase, but also we had to convert a portion of the regional bulk infrastructure grant from capital allocation to goods and services as part of the Mfuleni intervention program. That is more for accounting purposes, Chairperson. Then with regards to the capital expenditure, the spending is overall 40%. And if we break it further downward, the spending on buildings and other structures is 41%. And we obtain also approval from National Treasury for the conversion of that 308 million from the regional bulk infrastructure grant towards water services infrastructure grant. This is to cover some of the projects that are first moving on the articulation part of the work that we are doing, but also to fund some of the invoices that accrued from the previous financial year. On the next slide, these are the figures that I've just presented on the spending for the department. A significant portion of the budget of the department goes towards transfers and subsidies. 62% actually makes up the 21 billion of the budget for the department, with 20% being the capex allocation. And water services management as well takes quite a significant portion of the budget of the department. Comparing to the corresponding quarter of 22-23, which we have, of which we have reported 38%, the spending for the quarter this year is 46%. Also noting that this is based on the adjusted budget, but also indicate that there is actually an improvement. For example, if we reflect on buildings and other fixed structures, in the comparing the comparative period, we spend 927 million for the period. However, in the current reporting period, the spending is 1.7 billion just on that particular line item. On the next slide, the water trading entity, a significant portion of the water trading entity goes towards CCTA for financing and investing in raw water infrastructure, but also for the payment of loans by CCTA. The increase compared to the previous year is 2% if you compare quarter to quarter on this one. In terms of spending for the regional bulk infrastructure grant, the direct allocations to a local government, we had applied 236 million as a reduction on this grant across various projects. And we are working with the various municipalities to ensure minimal impact on projects that are at construction stages. So most of the adjustments, we did our best to ensure that we cut those that are still at the planning stages, so that we don't have too much disruption on those at construction stages. The transfers were processed as scheduled, and those that were scheduled in the third quarter have been processed in line with the approved payment schedule. And on the next slide, again, the same direct transfers to the municipalities, but in this case, this is for water services projects. And the cut there that has been applied is 244 million. The same principle that we have applied on the preceding project, we have applied here as well, where I've indicated that we are working with the municipalities to ensure that there's less disruption on those projects that have been at construction stage. and the transfers are being processed in line with the approved payment schedule. Plan number 41, Chairperson, this is the capital infrastructure portion of the allocation that we have received on the grants for regional bulk infrastructure. This is the one where I've indicated that there's been an adjustment overall of 308 million from the bulk regional bulk infrastructure grant to the water services infrastructure grant. There are also individual adjustments that were made in various provinces. And for example, Eastern Cape, we have made those adjustments to allocate funding towards some of the obligations in the Eastern Cape under water services infrastructure grant. For the Gauteng one, a significant portion is that 198 million, which has been reprioritized towards the Emfuleni, the Vaal River pollution remediation project. The Northwest and the Western Cape, there are plans in place to ensure that we recover on those. Specifically on Western Cape, this relates to a desalination plant that we are having at Ciderberg. There's been challenges there between the municipality and the service provider, the contractor, and we have been working with the municipality to draft a recovery plan, which we should be able to provide progress thereon when we present the third quarter. So that is the reason why those funds were not moved there because of pending issues with the contractor. And on water services infrastructure grant, this initiative is also to mitigate the risk of underspending where there is a realization that there is more funding required under the water services infrastructure grant. Some of the projects that are moving at an advanced stage. We've included the Eastern Cape there. Also, KwaZulu-Natal included in there is that intervention that we are having in that area. And also from Mpumalanga, the funds moved again from the province regional bulk infrastructure to fund the projects that are fast moving in the same province. Then Northern Cape is an adjustment because of challenges that we had with the contractor. However, I must also indicate that subsequently in the third quarter, there's been progress and there are other projects that the department has actually accelerated within the same province. So we should be able to plow back some of the funds within the Northern Cape. Then also our transfers to the various water boards, there were significant adjustments that we presented in quarter one. Those had to do with the corrections to the original estimate of national expenditure, including, among others, a reprioritization of funds that were initially gazetted as being for the former Sedibeng Water Board, which is now no more. And the other allocations had to do with projects that are part of the interventions, including the Hammanskraal water crisis. Funds have been reprioritized. Mahali Dota has been appointed by the department. And we are moving also in ensuring that the communities do get the services as per the plan that the department has presented to the committee. The next part of the presentation, Chairperson, is an overview of the financial recovery plan. We have been requested to constantly provide feedback that we are still on track in ensuring that we adhere to those goals that we had in our financial recovery plan that is presented years back to the committee. So this slide provides an overview of the broad strategies and those key outputs and where we are. It includes audit matters, budget management, ensuring that the water trading is sustainable, the construction unit at the DG referred to that we minimize those costs that we normally have to report at the end of the year as the recoverable costs due to idle time on the construction site. But those are being dealt with. On slide number 46, percent, the summary of what we always say is improper expenditure, unauthorized, irregular process and wasteful expenditure. And I must indicate that unauthorized expenditure, we are hopeful Parliament is considering our representations. We appear before SCOPA, and we are optimistic that this matter will be resolved in this current financial year. With regards to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the increase that we have recorded relates mainly to some of the costs that we have incurred on the Vaal River project there, where we had an investigation conducted and we had to look closer at some of the costs which we had to reclassify for accounting purposes as fruitless, and there could be some that are recoverable, and we are implementing the recommendations that the investigation presented to the accounting officer. Then with regard to irregular expenditure as well, we are still on track to finalize all those cases that are still remaining within the control of the department, those that require the law enforcement agencies. We will also work with those law enforcement agencies to ensure that these cases are concluded. Our internal auditors are also assisting us with the backlog, and we are hopeful that the work that they are doing will be able to enable us to reach the goal of 31st March 2024. I've mentioned already the unauthorized expenditure. We have presented before the historical cases there of budget eradication as well as all this. Mainly it was this overspending of the main division of the road and that constituted unauthorized expenditure. And we have a case for SCOPA indicated on the 19th of September, and this request currently under consideration by Parliament. There are systems in place that we have put as a department, including the financial recovery plan, to make sure that we do not have recurrence of this. There are no new cases since these cases of 2016, 17, and 17, 18 financial years, respectively. On irregular expenditure, on slide number 48, we have been working through the assessment of the cases. In line with the instruction note from Treasury, we are required to go back and look at all the historic cases individually. And we have managed now to clear some of those. Clearing means, as I will indicate in the subsequent slides, that there's a due process that is followed. You must do an assessment, termination, and when relevant, there must be an investigation. And consequence management must also be implemented where applicable. So these I've already spoken to as part of the earlier slide. And then on slide number 49, this is the status of all those cases that we have been reporting on, the disciplinary cases that our HR is also assisting us on. The description is there of where the cases are. Some are also with the HOGS as well as the SIU. And that continues the same narrative to slide number 50. And some have court cases which are scheduled for February 2024. And on slide number 51, when we incurred the unauthorized expenditure, there were also other overspending which did not necessarily constitute unauthorized expenditure. This is where we had overspending at economic classification level, and we had to request National Treasury to consider a condonation, and we are awaiting feedback. We have been making follow-ups with our colleagues. They are still considering this request. Slide number 52 is a summary of those cases that we have resolved to date. And on slide number 53 and 54, the analysis of the transgressions of the very same unauthorized, irregular, food waste and wasteful expenditure register. So these are historic cases which outlines what caused those incidents that you are reporting on. On slide number 55, Chairperson, we did indicate that it is our goal to ensure that we eliminate, prevent this irregular expenditure. We can see through the trend analysis the years in which the expenditure was high, and we have managed to bring that to almost zero. We just have two contracts which the accounting officers referred for investigation, where we had some interpretation issues on the process that was followed in evaluating and adjudicating those contracts. So as soon as they are done, the investigation is completed, we will be able to finalize this matter and take the necessary action as per the instruction from Treasury. Similarly, on slide number 56, on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we haven't recorded any. Those that are still under assessment, if they are confirmed, you would have instances where expenditure on construction sites, as much as we have indicated earlier on, also the DG, that we have put preventative measures to ensure that we don't incur all those irrecoverable costs. But towards the end of the year, it is possible and that we might have some, but we are currently not having any reported incidents of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. On slide number 57 is the requirements that we are required to adhere to from National Treasury when dealing with the issues of irregular expenditure. And 58 is where the DG also mentioned the measures that we are putting in place to deal with the raw water debt that we're having, working with Treasury, but also the enforcement of the credit control measures, revenue enhancement strategy, where DG mentioned that we are working with the municipalities and the water boards, where we have given them some incentive schemes, where we are able to write off some debt if they honor current bills and they adhere to conditions that would have set in the agreement, repayment agreement with them. The subsequent slide, Chairperson, just detailed information on the provinces as well as the benefiting municipalities on the grants. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, CFO, honorable members and the department. For now, I think I will allow the NOSIPO to take us through in terms of the rules of the National Assembly, Rule 159.1. It says if the chairperson of the committee is absent or unable to perform the function of the chair,
In terms of the rule 159,
it allows the members to elect. So I'll therefore hand over to NOSIPO to lead the process. NOSIPO?
She's the proposal.
The person is out now. NOSIPO, can you lead us in terms of the process?
Collapsing behavior. Allow the process to the way it must unfold. You can't
definitely. That's what I'm saying. Let's implement the rule 1591 of the rules of the National Assembly.
Mr. Mashiko is currently attending to another meeting, therefore the committee must elect a member to act as the chairperson of this meeting until Mr. Mashiko is back.
Not to put my hand is up.
Yes, okay. Mama Tuba.
what we see today.
Thank you very much, Comrade Knox, honorable members. I would propose that we appoint Comrade Grace Seke, honorable member Grace Seke, to chair this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mama Matuba. Who's seconding, Ms. Matuba?
Seconds the Matuba.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chwai. Ms. Tsege, you can take over as the acting chairperson until the meeting is done or Mr. Mashego is back.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, committee secretary, for implementing the rules as adopted by the National Assembly. Members, the department has presented the report, the quarterly report. I think all of you have been listening, so I'll therefore request members to interact with the department. If you do have any questions or comments, let's raise our hand, honorable members. DM Chabalala, I can see you are connected and you are warmly welcomed. And DM Masobo, you have been in our meeting. You are warmly welcomed too. Let me see the hands. Honorable Basson, you will be our number one. Honorable Matuba, our number two. Honorable Mohlala, number three. Honorable Peterson, number four. Honorable Sihlwayi, number five. Is there any other honorable that I'm leaving behind? Oh, Honorable Moore, Stephen Moore. I see your hand too. Thanks. Honorable Leon, Basson.
Oh, that was an old hand. Sorry, Chairperson.
Oh, okay. So, legacy hand. Okay. Thanks so much. Honorable Matuba, can start, madam.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues, honorable members, and officials from Department of Water and Sanitation. Chair, let me welcome the report which was presented by the department through DG, Mayor Babalwa, and I can't remember who was the last speaker, but it's from the department. Chair, I do have a few questions to raise in terms of what has been presented on the report. I will shoot straight to I'm not quite sure of the slide number, but one thing that I remember about that slide is that recently in September, it was reported that as a country we have 696 rivers throughout the country. But when you look at the report, according to the department's report, only 85 rivers have managed to implement eco-status monitoring. Then my question would be, when will the department start implementing eco-status monitoring for the other remaining 611 rivers? And also, through the report, one has taken into cognizance that some provinces like your Northern Cape and Northwest are not performing well for the first and second quarter. And one would want to understand what are the departmental strategies to be implemented to ensure that performance is improved and recovered to ensure no underspending will be reported by the end of the financial year. And Chair, you can see that in many of our communities, people are protesting and complaining about the challenges relating to the billing system with local municipalities. One would be curious or interested to know what support would the department provide to local municipalities to address the billing system for water and sanitation services in the near future. And one would also be interested to know what mechanisms and strategies would be implemented to ensure that communities pay for the services and in return, municipalities pay for the services rendered by various water service boards to ensure that both the local municipality and water boards are in a stable and a better financial position to execute their respective mandates. Chair, lastly, it is worth noting that 217 cases are being investigated in accordance with slide 19 of this report. Out of curiosity, one would want to know that what will be the repercussions to those who will be on the wrong. That will be my submission, Chair, and questions to the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Matuba, Honorable Mashala.
No, thank you so much, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to greet everyone in the meeting today. My question is, during the DG's opening remarks, he emphasized the transformation of the irrigation board. Could the DG please provide information on the number of directives issued to irrigation boards and how many successfully transitioned into water user associations? Additionally, can the DG also share with us the challenges they faced in this process? Another question is, what is the time frame given to irrigation boards to transform to water user associations? If so, what are those? What are these? Are there any consequences or punitive charges against non-compliant irrigation boards? The other question, Chairperson, can the department also provide a written report on the number of district municipalities being assisted by the department? What were some of the challenges encountered? Is the department providing skills transfer to municipalities to handle water schemes technicalities after the department concludes its assistance? Like in Mopani, where the department took over everything, what are they transferring the skills afterwards? Or will the department continue supporting this dysfunctional municipality? Chair, I would also like to see maybe a column added to the departmental presentation, both on financial and non-financial information on risk associated if budgets and targets are not met, and what strategies will be used to alleviate those risks. The other question, Acting Chair, is could the department provide an overview of the impact and implication of targets not being met in each of those programs. Acting Chair, when we look at Salt Black Municipality in Northern Cape, we saw there that the report says contractors terminated the contract with the implementing agent. But we are not given reason why did something like that happen. Because when there is this termination, I think there's more funds being incurred and all those things, extra charges being incurred. Instead of spending maybe a 1 million, we end up spending 1,300,000, for example. So I want to, we need reasons. We don't just need a report that is just quiet and not telling us exactly what happened. What is the reason for terminating those contracts? Another one, Chair, is irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Okay, now lastly, Chair, let me talk about the river system monitoring. Chairperson, some farmers are agreed with water or free-flowing water in rivers. They create small dams that stop the flow of the river and the water doesn't carry on to other places. So how do you ensure that private-owned landowners do not infringe on natural systems and resources for their personal gains? I do not see something talking about that, but I saw that there's river system monitoring and the target is also not being met there. Can you please get clarity in terms of that, Chairperson? I saw also there's prioritizing of funds to Hamas Kraal, which is very good, because the president of the country went there. Afterwards, nothing happened. Our people are still suffering. They don't have water. For so many years, waiting for water. So I think this is good, and it must happen. The implementation must be done, and it must be done as soon as possible so that we rescue the lives of the people and we make sure that their dignity is being prioritized as well. Thank you so much. King Chair, Grace, thanks.
Honorable Grace Man Mushan, Honorable Mushana. Thank you so much.
I'm throwing out.
Not now.
Okay, did us.
Yeah, not now, DM.
Thank you. I'm telling you, if you do that,
Are with the powers vested in me, I do have, I can. But not now, Honorable DM. Thank you, Honorable Mehdi Peterson.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I want to greet everyone on the platform. I've got a question, and thank you for the presentation by the department. The department had reported that there were more than 1,000 vacancies, and the department managed to advertise more than 800 of those vacancies. What is the number of those positions that have been shortlisted, interviewed, and ultimately appointed? In the vacancies that have been filled, within the department, what is the demographic profile of the employed people in terms of gender and race? Thank you, Chair.
That was quick. Honorable Stroy, Nancy.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Thank you from the department. Such a very good, clear presentation performance from the DD and the department officials. Honorable Chairperson, I just have about two questions. My first question is on slide 18, on the water resource infrastructure management. Well, the department is saying there are about 209 job opportunities that have been created. of water resource infrastructure projects. I mean, given the high number of projects, infrastructure projects that are being implemented in the municipal level, and the high number of job seekers generally at the municipal level, one is wondering if perhaps the where does this 209 job opportunities come from when you assess the monetary value of the infrastructure implemented by the department, a huge amount of money. 209 is nothing against the millions that are being implemented and against the need of creating jobs at that particular level. Is the department not underscoring the job created? Does it have a very clear data management of knowing those jobs and which jobs are we talking about? Because it may happen that the department talks about big jobs of infrastructure. For us, it's a job for a laborer, a mess line or whatever, who is appointed because she takes money home and feed the families. Which jobs are we talking about when we talk about the 209 against the huge monetary value of the department that is utilized in the infrastructure? The second one, Chair, is on slide 21. On the Clyde William Dam, the 12% instead of 18%, and where the target is not meant. I'm trying to take the department back when we visited this dam 2021. This dam has well progressed when we were there in terms of its program, and now the department talks about 12%, a percentage issue, which could mislead me on what is this 12%, where, in which area in the dam? Mzimbubu Dam, I wish this issue of the access road there could not be reported again. DG, it's an issue that was caused in anxiety when we went there in 2021. We didn't know because we wanted them. Then it was talking about an access road. When we arrived there, we were clear. You educated us. Why did it access them? Because of the nature of the dam where it's being located. And you accept that. And again, this access dam is being reported to be 78% from 2021. We once reported, the department once reported a challenge. It was a progress report, which we are waiting for. A legal procurement squabble, which was towards the construction and towards the issues of land. One is interested to know, where is that process? Because that process was a progress forward in terms of the Umzubi Dam. How far is that? The third one, Chair, is slide 38. The, I think it's presented by the CFO. The budget of 22 million has been reduced to 21 billion. I still believe we know the legal process of assessing budget for each department. Where I'm sitting, 32 billion is far low for this department. I don't know how National Treasury and the department reached that. There are departments that have got huge amount of money, which the work that they are doing is far less than the infrastructure to this particular department. The dams that are dealing, the rivers that we are dealing with in different provinces. But what wonders more is that how does this 22 billion is reduced to 21 billion? What is the measure that the department is using in terms of monitoring the performance so that when any of the programs is not performing, immediately the department doesn't ask permission to anyone, is able to reprioritize the budget, redirect that money to a progressing program in whatever province so that we are able to protect the money, the little. We have got a little budget as a department. 22 billion, very little for water and sanitation department, given the challenges that we have confronted with in all the areas. How does that happen? Perhaps the department needs to clarify at what time will you redirect to protect the National Treasury to take the little money. It's a little money that you are getting. And that money needs to be protected. Thank you very much, Chairperson of the meeting.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Honorable Stry. Is there any hand? Or more? Honorable more?
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. No, I'm covered. Thank you.
Oh, you're covered. Thank you so much. Very progressive. The two DMs, just three, if not four questions that I want to pose. But firstly, let me appreciate the progress report in terms of your performance in quarter two. I think all of us as members, we are agreeing that there's a lot that it's been done by the department in terms of access to water, but there are still challenges that we must be able to address going forward. One of the questions that I have is on, we are concerned about the recurring issues of poor performance regarding the procurement of goods and services generally by the department. What actions would the department take to ensure that the departmental performance on the procurement of goods and services is improved? On the slow pace of the implementation of the bucket eradication program, it has been a concern throughout. Would the department complete this implementation of this target on the identified date? And what is the departmental recovery plan for the entire program? On the question that was raised by Ms. Sala on the Hammanskraal crisis, we appreciate and welcome the budget from the National Treasury to address the challenges of Hammanskraal. But I just want to get from the DG side, there was a task team that was established to deal with the crisis, water crisis in Hammanskraal, and the systems that have collapsed around the area. So any progress, any positive moves that you can just share with us as the committee in terms of your intervention or in terms of the intervention of the task team in the Hammanskraal project. The other matter is on the public-private partnership. Do you have any program or projects that you are implementing through this partnership, your presentation is very quiet in terms of that. I know at some point DBSA was on the picture, but now I can't see any report on that. On the dam safety rehabilitation, I know government is owning some of the dams. What are the challenges in implementing the program? Because even in our previous quarter and even in our annual report, there were challenges in terms of achieving this target. And lastly, I want to appreciate your efforts, DG and the team and DMs, in terms of appointing the staff which will be able to assist in terms of processing the water use license. So I think we are acknowledging that it has been an outcry previously. So thank you for appointing those people. Thanks so much. I will then hand over to the DM, the two DMs, DM Chabalala, DM Mashobo, and the team to respond to the issues that are raised by members. Thank you so much. DM, over to you. DM Chabalala, are you connected?
Yes, I'm connected. Thank you so much, Honorable Sagan. Was just being kept in the waiting room. I think from my side, I would maybe rather would, if we to allow the administration just to cover the administrative issues that have been raised on performance finances and all of them, then we can come at the later stage. But it's again, Michael wants to say something. But from my side, I think I would come right to the left with your permission, Chair.
No, Chairperson, let's allow the DG and the team to respond to the issues, and the DMs will come to conclude the high-level policy issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll answer some of the questions, and I'll ask colleagues to add. There was a question from Honourable Matuba about are we ensure no underspending. The way that we do that is firstly, we provide a lot of support to the municipalities. Our regional offices support the municipalities and provide them with advice about how to improve the management of their projects and avoid under expenditure. In addition, the minister spends a lot of time visiting municipalities and meeting with the leadership and emphasizing the importance of getting the projects going. Sometimes we ask the water boards to assist the municipalities as well to get the project going. Sometimes the minister gets the municipalities to agree on action plans and time frames to ensure that the projects are implemented. But over and above all of that support that we provide, sometimes the municipalities still don't implement their projects timely, or they have challenges such as unforeseen ground conditions or disruptions from business forums or labour disputes, etc. And then in those instances, when it's clear to us that the municipality won't be able to spend all the money this financial year, we take the money that we expect that they won't be able to spend, and we put it on other projects where we know there is high level of expenditure and there's potential to spend more money. So for example, this year we are
Honorable Masani? The DG is too far from the mic, we can't hear him.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, it's better now, thank you.
Okay, so for example, this financial year, we have some very big projects which are moving well and are spending a lot of money in which we can increase the pace of the work. The Giani project is a good example with all the distribution work being implemented by Mopani District Municipality. So where there's under expenditure by municipalities on projects, if necessary, we get Treasury approval to reprioritize within either the ARPA grant or the WISIC grant, and then we increase the allocation to those municipalities with projects which are moving and which can absorb more money. The municipalities which we take money from and the projects that we take money from, which are underperforming, it doesn't mean those projects won't be implemented. We will put the money back next financial year. Honourable members will be aware that we get a three-year medium-term expenditure budget, an MTF budget, so we are allowed to do what I'm talking about. In fact, that was one of the reasons why Treasury introduced the medium-term expenditure three-year budget, so that we can plan projects over a three-year cycle rather than just 1 year, so that we can do what I'm talking about and take money from a project which is underperforming this year and put the money back next year because we have the three-year budget. With regards to the billing system at municipal level, we are engaging closely with National Treasury and liaising with them. It's primarily their responsibility to work with municipalities to improve their billing systems. They have a number of initiatives in this regard, and they have people employed as well at the provincial treasuries who specialize in this, providing support municipalities to improve their billing systems. From our side, in our engagements with the municipalities and in the ministers' engagements with the mayors, we constantly emphasize the importance of improving billing and revenue collection and reducing non-revenue water. And I will get a bit now into how we also, through our Water Partnerships Office with the DBSA, we also are offering support to municipalities to reduce non-revenue water. In terms of our strategies to ensure that all the participants in the water value chain pay, in other words, that customers who get water from municipalities must pay municipalities for the water. Municipalities must pay the water boards. The water boards must pay the water trading entity and the departments. Over and above our work with National Treasury, our collaboration with National Treasury to improve billing and revenue collection at municipal level, we also liaise very closely with the water boards. We've developed standard operating procedures with the water boards for the standardization of billing and revenue collection between our water trading entity and the water boards, and to strengthen the billing and revenue collection so that there's better credit control across the value chain. In addition to that, learning from the experience of the ESCOM debt write-off, which was announced by the Minister of Finance, which is a somewhat complicated mechanism that's been put in place to enable debts owed by municipalities to ESCOM to be written off on condition that they meet all their current invoices to ESCOM. We've engaged National Treasury about putting in place a similar mechanism in the water sector, and they've agreed that we can proceed in certain areas where the municipalities owe the water boards a lot of money and where those water boards owe us a lot of money. So one good example is Machabeng in the Free State, which owes our Vaal Central Water Board more than 5 billion rand, and our Vaal Central Water Board in turn owns us billions of rand. So we're busy discussing with the Vaal Central Water Board the possibility of them reaching an agreement with the municipality that if the municipality develops a track record of paying all its current invoices in full, then that debt, parts of that debt could incrementally be written off by the water board, and we in turn would gradually incrementally write off part of the debt of the water board to us. In addition, it was mentioned in the presentation, and the CFO can perhaps elaborate on this, that we also, in terms of the customers that we have as the national department, in addition to the water boards, we also have large industrial customers that we sell water directly to, such as ESCOM and Sasol, and we've also introduced incentive mechanisms for our direct customers to pay all their current invoices in full. Honourable Mufala asked for a couple of written reports on a couple of issues. We will provide you with that information, Honourable Mufala, with regard to the number of district municipalities assisted by the department. But in general, you asked about skills transfer to municipalities. When we're working with municipalities, there will be some skills transfer in that our water boards, our regional office, and our water services branch have regular interactions with the municipalities. We assist them to put in place action plans and to monitor the action plans. We advise them about infrastructure procurement, etc. So that will be resulting in some capacity building. We also collaborate with the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, which arranges quite a lot of training for municipal officials and POCTA, Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, particularly technical training related to infrastructure. I think that answers the question on the skills transfer to municipalities. You also asked us to provide information on the impact of the targets not being met. We'll also provide you with written information in that regard as well. Honourable Peterson, I'm not sure where you got the figure from that we advertised 800 vacancies. We haven't been able to advertise 800 vacancies. We have a very constrained personnel budget. In real terms, our personnel budget has been reduced in the last couple of financial years. So we have almost no money to spend on hiring additional staff. Last financial year, we fully spent our personnel budget, and the same will be this year. So we don't have the funding available to advertise 800 posts. If we did and if we filled them and if we overspent, it would be irregular expenditure or unauthorized expenditure. So we've only been able to advertise very few posts, including, for example, and we've had to prioritize which posts that we can advertise. Now, we mentioned in the presentation that one of our key priorities to fill some posts has been to hire additional technical staff so that we can improve our turnaround times for the processing of water use license applications. And we indicated in the presentation that in that quarter, I think the figure was 93 staff that we managed to employ, 94 staff that we managed to employ, to technical staff to increase our capacity to process water use license applications. I will ask our Chief Director for HR in a minute to give us an indication of what was the racial and gender profile of those 94 appointments. Clan William Dam, I did indicate in the introduction that Clan William Dam is one of our projects which has been long delayed, partly because of changes in leadership in the department, which resulted in changing decisions as to how the project should be implemented, whether it should be put out on tender to contractors or whether it should be implemented internally using our construction units. Those issues have now been resolved. The project is being implemented by our construction unit. We were there with the minister last week, I think. The major construction work is now underway, and I mentioned in the introduction that the delays that have been there in the past with regard to the necessary procurements for the subcontracts and for the materials and equipment for our construction units have been resolved. Those contracts are now in place, and the major construction works are underway. And the minister visited the project together with the MEC for infrastructure in the Western Cape and the mayor of Cedarburg municipality last week. So that project is fully underway now. And Mzimbubu Dam, we've reported previously to the portfolio committee that for a long time the Mzimbubu project was delayed because there was a deadlock with regard to the possible funding for the project. National Treasury was of the view that it was too expensive, not affordable to be funded from the fiscus. We went through a process of trying to raise to see if the private sector would be interested in investing in the project, and that didn't produce any results that would be acceptable to National Treasury in terms of the manner of the private sector participation. So about a year ago, we managed to reach a resolution with National Treasury on how the project could be funded. We reconfigured the project, which resulted in its cost being reduced by half. And on that basis, National Treasury agreed that it could be funded from the fiscus. Since then, we've been busy doing all the preparatory work for the project to proceed, getting the environmental approvals, getting the construction license, and another number of other preparatory aspects. Before the end of November, work will be starting on phase two, which is the actual construction of Ntabalanga Dam. Work will be starting on the construction of the houses for the workforce that will be working there to build Ntabalanga Dam, and we'll be starting with clearance of the area which is going to be inundated by the dam. Then our target is by April next year for actual major construction work to start on work related to the construction of the dam wall. So we have entered now phase two of Mzumbubu project, which is to construct the actual Ntabalanga Dam. With regard to the access road, the current progress is 87% on the access road, so it's almost finished. There was a question from Honourable Siklai about the reduction of the budget. Honourable Siklai, you will be aware that the Minister of Finance and National Treasury have been making announcements recently, including in the NTPS, that there's been budget cuts across the whole of government because of the fiscal situation in the country. All departments have had their budget cuts. So there wasn't a particular emphasis on DWS. In fact, as far as I know, the amount that our budget was cut is less in percentage terms than many other departments' budgets. So I think National Treasury has done what you suggested, Honourable Siklai, and I think they have tried to preserve our budget as much as possible compared to the amount that has been cut from other departments' budgets. From Honourable Seki, there was a question about what are we doing to improve our procurement. Our key focus has been on our infrastructure procurement. That is the key problem particularly with regard to the procurement of goods and services related to our construction unit, so that our construction unit can work more efficiently. We still have a very large construction unit in the department. I think it's the only large construction unit still existing in the whole of government. It has more than 3,000 employees and it's capable of very sophisticated construction work, including the construction of major dams. But you'll appreciate that for a construction company of that size to operate efficiently, it needs to have effective and efficient procurement, which in the past we haven't had as the department. As I indicated in my introductory remarks, National Treasury and the Construction Industry Development Board have put in place guidelines and a special regulatory framework for infrastructure procurement, recognizing that infrastructure procurement needs to be treated differently to other types of procurement of goods and services. So for a long time, the department didn't take advantage of those frameworks, but we've now done so. As the accounting officer, I have approved a new infrastructure procurement policy and an infrastructure procurement strategy, which we're now in the process of implementing, which is going to make our procurement more efficient and effective. It's going to reduce the number of procurement events, in other words, tenders, by a large amount so that our procurement becomes more manageable. And we're also going to have more longer-term contracts so that we don't have to go on a procurement process every time we need to buy something for the construction unit. So we started to implement that this year. We're starting to see the fruits of it. There's a whole range of tenders which are either out or being processed. A few have been awarded and more are being prepared. And we'll see the benefits in terms of the reduction in fruitless and wasteful expenditure by our construction unit. In the past, that's been a big problem because it sat idle because it hasn't had the necessary tools and equipment and supplies due to our procurement delays, but we want that to become a thing of the past with our new approach to procurement. Honourable Turkey, we also as the department are seized with finalising the bucket eradication program, and it's a major focus for us. We are working particularly closely with those municipalities where there are still remaining projects to be completed in terms of the initial design of the bucket eradication program. And we are doing all that we can to try and ensure that the projects are completed this financial year. With regard to Hammond's Kraal, there is progress. We are working together with the City of Tshwane, National Treasury and the DBSA. National Treasury has consistently told us that we're not allowed to give our money to the City of Tshwane because they get the Urban Settlements Development Grant, which is supposed to be used for sanitation projects. So that still remains the case. But what has changed, the City of Tshwane has now budgeted a relatively large amount to improve the Rooibal wastewater treatment works. I think it's 350 million. The project that was cancelled due to allegations of corruption and is now under investigation by the SIU, that was run by Tshwane to repair the Rooibal wastewater treatment works, has been resuscitated, obviously with a different contractor, and his work is underway to do that. In addition, we reached agreement in the task team that Mahali's Water would construct a package plant, which is a small water treatment works at its premises, which are near Hammond's Kraal, so that it would be able to provide treated water into Hammond's Kraal's water distribution system, so that the people of Hammond's Kraal no longer have to rely on water tankers. We approached National Treasury to obtain permission to change our infrastructure grant allocations to be able to make an allocation to Mahali's Water to enable it to start constructing the package plant. That approval was obtained. We've given the instruction to Mahali's Water. They have tendered for the construction of the package plant, and the project is on track for the package plant to be in place by April next year. And that has been our target, to be able to provide clean, safe drinking water into the distribution network in Hammond's Kraal, so that to replace the tankers. In the meantime, the task team is also working particularly with National Treasury and the DBSA to put in place a combination of different types of funding to enable the capacity of the Rooibal wastewater treatment works to be increased. It doesn't have sufficient capacity to deal with the sewage loads coming into the wastewater treatment works. So that work is progressing, and design work is starting on the upgrades of the on the major upgrade of the Rooibal wastewater treatment works. And our design work and planning work is also underway for the upgrading of the water treatment works, which under the City of Tshwane, which provides water to Hammond's Kraal. While that water treatment works is being upgraded, the Hammond's Kraal community will be supplied by the package plant, which Mahali's Water is putting in place at the moment, which should provide water from April next year. With regard to public-private partnerships, we are pursuing two types of partnerships with the private sector. The one is more collaboration than a commercial partnership, and one good example of that is our OMM project in Limpopo, where we have a collaboration with the mining houses to build a major pipeline in the north of Limpopo to provide water to mines in that area, but also to provide to distribute drinking water to communities living along the pipeline. The major collaboration, 24 billion rand project, with a 50% contribution from government and a 50% contribution from the mines. And then also we have, as you indicated, Honourable Serki, we have established the Water Partnerships Office as a institution to support municipalities to put in place public-private partnerships. It's a ring-fenced institution housed at the DBSA. It's coordinated by a committee consisting of DBSA, EWS, and SALGA. The CEOs have been appointed and in the process of hiring more staff. They've developed a business case for the Water Partnerships Program, which has been submitted to National Treasury for approval, with the request that this Water Partnerships Office can approve public-private partnerships as a sector-specific PPP office for the water sector. And the Water Partnerships Office, drawing on GPSA officials, is currently talking to a number of municipalities and working with a number of municipalities. And there's a range of partnership projects which are on the early stages of development in areas such as non-revenue water and water reuse, which would eventually result in bids going out for the private sector to invest in areas such as water reuse and non-revenue water in municipalities. I now, Chair, with your permission, I'd like to ask some of my colleagues to add some points. Babawu, would you like to go first?
With regard to two questions I will respond to is what was raised by Honorable Maduba on the number of rivers. We monitor what we call main stem rivers in our annual performance plan, and some of the rivers might be dry, and our monitoring program checks the flow when there's water in the rivers. And it also checks the water quality. So if a river is dry, we don't necessarily have to monitor that because there's no flow that we check in. Then the second one that I would like to respond to is what was raised by Honorable Sishwai on the jobs. For each and every project that we start as a department, particularly in the infrastructure space, we monitor the number of new jobs that are actually created per a project that has started. And these jobs are temporary jobs. They are not necessarily permanent jobs within the infrastructure space. So the 209 that we've reported is the number of new temporary jobs that we've managed to create from the infrastructure build program. This is not including the existing jobs that are temporary jobs within the construction space, which is temporary Section 76 jobs, which are much more longer term. And also, these jobs that we're tracking is what we've created as the department, mainly as the department from the infrastructure programs that we implement. But it does not cover the jobs that are created from the water and sanitation space in the municipal space. Then the third one, which was raised by Honorable Sek, on the dam safety. Yes, we do own dams as the department, and our dam safety rehabilitation program previously, several years ago, did experience some delays in completing a number of projects, but we are now improving and gaining traction. As the DG had mentioned, that the efficiencies are being introduced within the construction space, which is implementing most of these projects, and we should be able to implement and achieve our planned
target. Thank you, DJ.
Thank you, Barbara. Michael, there was a question about our investigations. Thank you, DG.
There was a question about the repercussions for investigations, for those who are implicated in investigations. I would like to point out that we do conduct investigations into allegations of fraud, corruption, and other irregularities, including irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. On concluding our investigations, we then make recommendations for further action. Those actions include disciplinary action for in instances where officials are found to have misconducted themselves. My colleague, Mr. Krieff, will then provide details in terms of what type of sanctions will follow from that. But we also have instances where the department has suffered financial loss. In those instances, we then follow civil recovery processes through the court to try and recover any money that we may have lost through the process. That also includes your internal debt recovery mechanisms where officials sign debt acknowledgement forms and then do repay the money to the department. This includes also acknowledgement and agreement that we can deduct from their pensions if they be dismissed or exit the public service. We also have instances where the acts that have been committed, for example, fraud or corruption, are criminal offenses. We then refer those to law enforcement agencies such as your South African Police Services, the Hawks, and so forth for further investigation. And those generally result in prosecution of such individuals and they may be jailed. Thank you.
Honorable Chair and members, thank you. My name is Conrad Krieffer. I'm the Chief Director for Human Resource Management. Following from what the Chief Audit Executive said, once the reports and with recommendations are signed off by the DG, and if those entail disciplinary action to be taken, the Chief Director at HR, specifically Labor Relations, then appoints an initiator, because they have the report with all the evidence. They appoint an initiator, as well as a presiding officer, and then a the employee is then served with disciplinary charges, and the hearing then is underway. In instances where there are lesser offences, where we believe that disciplinary hearings are not required, we follow what we refer to as corrective or progressive disciplinary action, where the employee is issued with a, well, either a final written warning, a written warning, verbal warning, or counselling. But if there's a disciplinary hearing, the presiding officer makes a pronouncement. The DG then implements that pronouncement, and the employee is then provided an opportunity to appeal that sanction or outcome of the hearing. That is, the appeal is only in respect of levels 1 to 12. Senior managers do not have the mechanism to appeal. They can declare a dispute then. Thank you, Chair.
Very much. And with regard to the racial and gender profile of the appointments that we made in that quarter, we'll provide that information in writing. Conrad was saying that he's not yet been able to get that information during this meeting. Annette, there's a question about illegal dams. Can you take that one, please?
Thanks, DG. Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Annette Meir, Chief Director of Water Use Compliance and Enforcement. I think Honourable Member Moksala asked about the ecosystem monitoring, which Babalwa explained is around water quality and aquatic life, as well as the plants around the rivers and their status. So they don't necessarily focus on dam construction. However, these sites have got fixed monitoring points, and should they should these activities occur around those points, it will be reported to compliance and enforcement. We do, however, have our compliance and officials as well as catchment managers that go out into the field, and where these are observed, they are reported to enforcement for further investigation and actions. We also have regular enforcement list activities, which are not on the APP target, but is conducted at catchment levels, where we then focus on all abstraction or storage facilities to confirm their authorization status, and then take appropriate action where they are not in place. So those are the mechanisms that we use to detect these small dams. They do require authorization, and where they do not have, we have a standard operating procedure now available as well for decommissioning of dams, of such dams. Thanks.
Thank you, Annette. Finally, there was a question by Honourable Mokwala with regard to why contracts were terminated by Salt Pyke Municipality for some of their projects. I'm told it was due to poor performance by the contractor. I don't know if Ikitletso, our regional head for Northern Cape, would like to add. Ikitletso?
Good morning, honourable members. Thank you, DG. Yes, we note the input that we must elaborate a little bit more on the presentation. The issues that the municipality and the service providers had was due to contractual matters, obligations of the municipality, and that is why then the service providers then opted for the termination of the contract. This then in turn affected the work of the contractor, and the contractor then is awaiting the municipality to confirm the reappointment of a professional service provider, and that is why the work is then halted. Thank you, DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. That brings us to the end.
Thank you so much,
Chair. Sorry, Chair. There's one for Toko to answer. Sorry, I forgot about one. Toko?
Thank you, DG. Chairperson, the honourable members, DM. Mine is around Honourable Mokwala's question around the transformation of Irrigation Board to Water User Association. Yes, Minister did issue the directive over a 90-day period, and which ended end of July. And by the end of July, we received a request from 70 Irrigation Boards requesting for extension of the period due to various challenges, but there has been a very positive outcome in the process, and 30 of the irrigation boards submitted their proposals for transformation, and Minister has processed those, and they will be gazetted as Water User Association very soon. And in terms of those that are not complying, that are delaying, Minister has strengthened the political oversight by dividing the 175 Water User Association Irrigation Boards between the DMs so that they can assist in terms of monitoring those that are lagging behind. We are hoping that the process should be finalized by end of March 2024. Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you, DM.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much, Comrade Grace. Do you see me? Am I audible?
Yes, you are. We can see you.
All right, thank you so much. I was saying, I think, look, from my side, it's to greet yourselves and obviously acknowledge the MSOB and the DG and the entire team and regional heads. There's a number of things that I think from a service delivery, but also from doing oversight from our side, also the executive authority, that the things that we have to take into cognizance, particularly to ourselves, that fundamental reform really to address water decline, water services, for instance, as part of the comments that they raised, that there are limitations that we need to appreciate to which the support intervention, obviously at the level of national government, that can address this decline in the reliability and quality of water and sanitation services is something that we need to take cognizance. And in the course of this decline, part of it being the poor maintenance and operations by municipalities, which must be funded by revenue from the sale of water by municipality to customers. Coming to that question that says that how are you going to make sure that municipalities, they pay the service provider at the same time, how you make it giving support to ensure that customers do pay for the services. It's the duty of the municipality to make sure that the customers, they bill them right, because at times the reasons that communities, they also don't pay, is because this billing system in municipalities, it's something else. It's not factual at times and so forth. I'm not making excuses for them, but it's the responsibility of the municipality to make sure there is that a payment, there's a billing system that they put on their machines and so forth to make sure that they bill. And of course, from our side, is to make sure that we do issue out those regulations and ensuring that we are paid what we need to be paid. Minister is exploring other means insofar as, for instance, in the Emfuleni issue, to say that there must be exploration between the Emfuleni and obviously the municipality themselves in terms of Metsi Alegwa. To say perhaps it's time, because you all are so much money, you are losing lots of water from your leaks, but perhaps you need to sit down and give and explore a study where the rainwater should be given the responsibility to also bill the customer. So that's something that is under discussion, because reality of the situation, rainwater even now in bigger municipalities, including in the areas of Tshwane and so forth, they're over pumping what the municipality is supposed to be getting insofar as what is being put down as part of their responsibilities, or rather the agreement. So I'm just saying that is that discussion from the side of rainwater and the municipality, obviously minister would have given them that responsibility. So at the end of the day, we don't find the situations that customers are unable to pay, they're not billed right, the billing system is not there, the leaks are continuing, we're giving water and the municipality ends up owing us lots of money that they're unable to pay. And other reforms that, for me, that the address that is needed is that, you know, water and sanitation is repeatedly providing municipalities with grants, one to repair the infrastructure, which is not maintained, particularly by the same municipalities. The deterioration that you see that is, again, rapidly, that continues, and the funding that needs to then be provided again and time again, something that, as members of parliament, we need to take to cognizance. And I, from where we are at the ministry level, that addressing this to really arrest and turn around this decline, especially in this municipality water and sanitation services, the municipality and the water and sanitation functions needs to be fixed, which requires a fundamental reforms, and part of which, you know, what we've been talking about, the Water Services Act and so forth. There are a number of core challenges that I think that we also have to be in line with. These matters of poor declining services, the low investments, the poor performing institutions, which increase the debts, the reducing the payments, and the key drivers of all of this is where you see the poor performing institutions as a result of poor governance, the ineffective management, a difficult external environment really, and because you need to consider the issue of the economy that is not doing very well, the unemployment that is there, the poverty that makes it harder to really succeed. But this is not the cause necessarily for me for decline. It's something that we need to take a cognizance to make sure that we turn around the situation. Now, turning around the sector, where we are at ministry level is that we need to increase the investment, improve services, increase the issues of payment, professionally manage capable, efficiently, and financial viable institutions to carry on the task. But what's in the middle for me is that the revenue sufficiently, issues of tariffs and the grant is something that we need to also take cognizance of. Honorable Mshala asked questions that which are the districts that you are really assisting, and what is this assistance that you're assisting them with? The constitutional obligation really for water and sanitation to support municipalities as well to regulate them, that's one that we have to cater for. The minister has crisscrossed this country, honorable members, visiting those municipalities with severe challenges with water and sanitation services. in many of the worst performing municipalities, and I'll share with yourself. And minister and municipality leadership have agreed to really improve on those plans. And water and sanitation, and of course, you would know through the RPIC, WISIC, and the technical advice and management support for water and sanitation, and also to the water boards themselves. And following this, I mean, examples that I'm going to give you, just to have high-level synopsis of each and every of these provinces, the interventions that are done to support these municipalities, pair these provinces, and the focus really needs to be that municipalities need to really focus and ensuring that this project and others that are implemented in order to accelerate the service delivery. I'll tell you one, I'll give you the Eastern Cape. You would have the Nelson Mandela municipality, I think, there, where you would have that quicker low level water supply scheme, that implementing agency, you have Amatole and the municipality, what has been allocated, 534 million financial, and it's at its final completion, and that is in June 2023 this year. And this is where we saw that the phase three that entailed the construction of flex mixer, two flocations, channels and settling tanks, six new filters that were done, and this is where we saw the increasing of the capacity of the waste treatment works with that 70 megaliters and per day to 210 megaliters a day. We had this lower Sunday River GWS that we had in the areas of Mbizana, the regional bulk water scheme and repair of Ludeke Dam that would have seen, and where we saw implementing agency being Umgeni, and this was for July 23 and 24. And this was the upgrade for water treatment of Nomlaku treatment plant and bulk lines Mbongweni as well and Dutuli. We had in Eastern Cape, Nkuma municipality as well, Zambe local municipality, Makana local municipality, and so forth that we're assisting. Free State, Malutia Perform. You will know that Malutia Perform has been in the news for a number of reasons in many areas. And at this point that the water sanitation, the interventions on this project, the upgrading of Sterkfontein water treatment works, refurbishment and upgrading of Fika Paso water purification plant, the upgrading of Intaba's rising main bulk water supply to Tiamo and Makolokweng, upgrading of water supply of Putaditab and CBD area, refurbishment of Elands, upgrading of the Kestrel wastewater treatment works, refurbishing of Mangwane. So I'm giving you this, the implementing agency there would have been Bloom Water, and we will see Sterkfontein, Fika Paso, Tiamo, Makolokweng, Putaditaba, Kwakwa, Kestrel, Harrismith, Intabaze, Spoon Plus, and Vilgepak, 1.1 billion. Then what, June 23 to April 2027. This is the infrastructure and the interventions that we are also giving. You would have Machabeng local municipality that is also on the news, the unblocking of sewer network in Velcom, Bronville, Virginia, and Tabong, the unblocking of the sewer in Ordens, South Trust, CBD, Kutwanong, Nyakalong, the Tabong, and Bronville. It list goes on, but basically this would have been in Kutwanong and Nyakalong Tabong, would have had wards like what 13, 14, 15, 17, 2, 6, 26, 28, 31, in Tabong Extension 1, 1 and 2, in Velcom and Kutwanong and Bronville, Virginia. And this is projects that is estimated to take place in June 2023 to 27, and that's what we're giving 1.5 billion to that. We have Gauteng, Influeni, and Mkhale City. Where in Gauteng, we would have that vile river system interventions that we've been speaking about, you've been seeing on the news, Minister, when the implementing agencies ran water in the areas that we're addressing, Sibukeng, Mayatin, Yugo, and Rispray. This doesn't just only end on water area, it also touches on sanitation, and the budget would have been that 4.7 billion. And this is project from March 2022 to 2027 in June. And it includes number of refurbishments that we are doing from phase ones and phase twos and phase three that we also seeing the issue of unblocking of boys, lodge human resources that would have collapsed, on operations and maintenance, issues of chemicals, the training and skilling transfer and infulani. To answer the question, are you also giving over the skills transfer? Yes. The maintenance of work, personal protective equipment that has been assisted to all this respray in Sibukeng, Mayatin, and Lugos. And we have Mogale City, there's age pipeline replacement, honorable members. And this flip human wastewater treatment works refurbishment phase one already would have Dr. Sifularo Housing Project and Dr. Motlana Housing Project. And this is implementing agency. It is Mogale City, and there is 285 million. And this is in August 23 to December 2024. And KwaZulu-Natal, I'll just mention the area, the Zululand district municipality, Umkhanyakude, we have been there. We have crisscrossed. We have said on the way in that Umkhanyakude, Jozini, the Big Five, Sabisa, Umhlabuyalingana, and Mpubatuba, and we've been there. The pipeline that is also being done, it includes abstraction of raw water from Jozini Dam, a laying of 28-kilometer backline, pump station, and upgrading of Mandlakazi wastewater treatment works, water treatment works there, Umkhuze, and others. So this is what is happening. This is in Zululand and UKTM, 2.7 billion, and this started in 2008. Honorable members, and projection is that 2026 should be the completion. The number of areas you've been in the committee, you've been interacting with the committee, you would have appreciated the issues that have been happening around that. Umkhanyakude, Ugu district, and on the Ugu, you know, because it keeps on coming up almost as if there is a number of work happening. You would appreciate that the work is complete, and this is from this additional 150 million reprioritized of DWS to arrange to boreholes, the pipe replacement, leaky management, metering and pressure management. All these work packages are practical completion and are already saving these communities. And this is a practical things that we're doing. Umzinyatu, Amajuba district, the Newcastle district that we are assisting, honorable members. Limpopo, Vembe district, and Mopani. Yes, honorable Mshala, when he spoke about us taking over, would have taken over. And Mopani, for instance, I mean, there is Nandoni to Nsame regional park water scheme as we speak. And the provision of that raw water pipeline from Nandoni to Nsame in the waste treatment works provision of clean water pipeline to Giani water services, the upgrading of Nandoni from 60 megaliters a day to 100 megaliters a day. And we have Vembe District Municipality, Collins Chabane, and Malamulele East, Muswaneng Mpambo, Mopani District, and for an example, Kiani and Shikwamani and etc. 55 villages already that we would have targeted at 1.8 billion at actual completion, which is supposed to be in April, and as we move on. So these are things that we're registering. And Mopani District, the Kiani wastewater refurbishment of phase one, and done by Lipelo Northern Water, a reticulation of 24 villages in Kiani phase one already, and 1.3 billion, and this is supposed to take place happening currently from January to 23 to April 2024. Polokwane City, Capricorn, Masodi, Polokwane, Vembe, we've been there, Mosina, and water services, Sikukune. You know the issues of Sikukune. Dear Masobe is quite invested in there as a person who's deployed there and doing number of work. We have Mpumalanga, the Krisani local municipality, Sikukune district, that the we would have done the project on Loskop regional park water supply, and this is in Kangala, that is the implementing agency, and would have the Lekwa that would have intervened on Standard 10 Extension 8, internal sewer reticulation repairs. There are a lot. I want to conclude by saying, honorable members, including Northwest, and as you said, so that if I don't leave another province, for Northwest, you would have this ministerial intervention that has been really set up by the Minister and Premier of Northwest. to start this additional water and sanitation project under the Operation Bulela Metsi that we spoke about in our presentation, by really relocating under expenditure that you will have issues of, and with us as well, the ministry, that we are quite monitoring very closely, because we can't have under expenditure in this day and age on the WISTIC and RBIC fund. And the work really done, it will be done across these four district municipalities. It's Kenneth Kaunda, Sekomutso Mompati, Utanala District, and Ngakamodiri Molem. And this is December 2022. Some would have started in June 2024. That's the progress we are registering that is underway. You would have seen us, we would have been in Northwest on the breast water treatment works, the Murutile South Park Project, Sitlahogo Park Project, and so forth and so on. There are many, and I would want this information to really be shared with members so that you can have this at the tip of your hand. Would have Northern Cape, the Gatelopele local municipality, the phase one of Outfall sewer line, phase two of upgrade of Daniel's Grill wastewater treatment works there, and implementing agency being Gatelopele, Daniel's Grill, 61.5 million that would have allocated June 23 to March 24, 185 million. From June to June 2027 of June 2023. And so Plaiki Kimberley Park water supply, and I must say the PH is doing very well in that province, as much as it's not in outside the red, in so far as processes taking time of be it of procurement and so forth, but through the technical testing we are able to see a number of intervention on the scope, so Plaiki municipality and so forth. So I want to quickly go to metropolitan municipalities. You would know our duty as much as we're in the district, but we do have metropolitan municipalities that are how the metros and that we are looking at in terms of assisting and so far as the ministerial intervention to address this water crisis that affected, particularly in Ekurhuleni, Johannesburg, Tshwane municipality, and the technical task team led by DWS has been put in place a strategic water sanitation project. Timelines have been set with respective budget. And for instance, I'll give you the Slagfontein Reservoir and Zekerbos Pump Station. You would have seen the addition of 150 megaliters a day really being completed. At this point, the Etsekwini Metro, we are also having the ministerial intervention there to implement projects for purposes of alleviation of the sewer spillages, particularly in the Etsekwini Metro, where initiatives entail refurbishments, upgrades, operators, and maintainers. City of Tshwane, you would know the ministerial intervention to really support the state of emergency on water and sanitation services. DM Masoba has been in the forefront insofar as the political task team is concerned, and Tshwane and Hammanskraal, and the interventions really had been aimed to alleviate the effluent discharge from Rooiwal and wastewater treatment works into the Apies River, and subsequent poor potable water quality from that timber water treatment works. And the interventions really has always been in seeking to really refurbish this upgrade, maintain this Rooiwal, and DG would have spoken about the progress around it. And of course, what is happening is that there is an ongoing work that we have to be there, and DPSA has been approached fundamentally to really deal with it. Honourable members, Minister has done very well at the level of ministry to make sure that we do have hands-on approach when it comes to these matters. Of course, we won't be able to finish everything else at the timelines at that speed that we would want to because of other areas that you would know that at times we are having that impediment insofar as pushing municipalities to a certain extent. But at this point, DWS, with its own provincial heads and led by the DGs, there's been a number in this DDGs to really a little bit of babysitting this work that would have seen and that would have been continuous and helping in these municipalities. And I want to leave it at that and give to you my sorrow. My humble apologies for taking too long, honorable members, speaking about this. I thought we needed to have a picture and appreciation of the work that is really involved. And we're saying also at the level of executive, it won't be business as usual. We need to do things and do them with the highest speed that we can, but of course not clouding and not also adhering to the national treasury regulations and so forth and so on. Maybe my last point on issues of goods and services. I agree with honorable members, the department is not doing very well when it comes to goods and services. Hence, DG says that, of course, they would have written to treasury because there's prescripts in so far what you can do, this tender systems and which areas that you must go. It takes too long and many times. And I, for one, have always been one that I'm always bashing with a department around goods and services to try to really improve on this, rather on this program, to make sure that when we come in the quarter, next quarter, we would have registered a bit of work that we're doing there. Let me give dear Mahlogo, thank you so much, honorable chairperson of the session. Comment again.
Thanks so much, DM Chwalala, for your detailed information. And I think members can go through the slides that speaks to most of the projects that you are presenting. I think the slide from 60, yeah, downwards. Those slides are talking to, are confirming to what you are presenting in terms of the intervention of TWS into all the provinces throughout the country. Jim Mahlogo, are you still here?
No, Jim Mahlogo,
I think before you close, because I think you'll be the last person. I see the hand of Mahlogo. I think I saw your hand, Honorable Mahlogo.
Yeah, no. Thanks so much, man, for the information from DM Chabalala. If possible, I heard her even saying the same thing that I'm going to say, that if we can get that report, can the committee please get a quantifiable information of this report that DM Chabalala was speaking about? I think it can assist us in terms of when we go for further, oversight. It will assist us a lot. Please, let's get it, DM Mahlogo, DM Chabalala. Please talk to your team to send us the report. We'll really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. We'll do that.
Noted. DM Mahlogo, your closing remarks?
No, thanks, Chair. The issue of the team have responded to, safe to say that the issues of the fiscal environment we are operating in is a very, very precarious one, and legislators and the executive, we should be in a position to appreciate it, that it will have an impact on the sustainability of the sector. And as a ministry and the administration, we've discussed this number of options on how we want to ensure that the sector is sustainable on a number of fronts. And we'll expect that while we are reaching up our work as a sixth administration and sixth parliament, these legislative imperatives to strengthen the hand of the department in supporting municipalities or the Water Services Authority and the ability to intervene. And it has also been demanded by yourselves over quite some time that in as much as there are clear rules and responsibility, but the instrument for the department to intervene, it needs to be sharpened. Through your leadership, Chair, and all the members, if we can find time and space to conclude that work, it's going to be able to conclude that work, because our experience has shown that other legislative instruments and the difficulties they have over the past years of implementation would have problems where citizens are going to be denied their rights to have access to water and decent sanitation is also clearly defined by the reports by the Human Rights, South African Human Rights Commission, Public Protector and yourselves. That's one request that one would want to make. But our attitude is that we will not wait when these organizations, the water services authorities, are having a number of challenges. And our reforms that we've done of the water entities, especially the water boards, you could see, Chair, that they are starting to give us the results. They are much closer to these water authorities, and there's a lot of dividends that we get, including the attitude by a number of municipalities to work together. In as much as in some areas, people still say, no, give us the money, we would want to do these things. But you could see it's happening. And the risk remains that our effort to deal with the issues of the Vaal Central Water Board in terms of the liabilities they got from Sedibeng and this municipality, where one municipality owes close to a 5 billion, including the ones from Magalies, they will have to be supported, Chair, like we did with Eskom, but it's not a blanket approach like the DG would have indicated in the past. And these are some of the issues that I think we should raise. But overall, we are pleased with the progress that the administration is doing with your support, including the level of oversight. And we can always confirm that our problem as a country is not the shortage, but it's a supply problem, which moves from issues of infrastructure management, both in terms of CAPEX and OPEX. And these are some of the issues why that partnership office that was established. It's a very important instrument, including the issue of private sector involvement, either on build, own, operate, or build, own, train and transfer, or concessions. And it should never, Chair, be misconstrued like others would do and think this is a privatization of water. The state has no intention as the ANC to privatize water, but we'll do whatever it takes to find partnership in terms of the compact that President has called for and to receive resources that we can. And it has been the backdrop, even the off-take agreements in terms of that are being taken in terms of water purchase agreements. They've always been there, even in the mining sector, over many, many decades. Therefore, these are some of the things that are working. But generally, we are turning the corner, but admittedly, there are still many South Africans who go without access to water and without the benefits of access to water, whether social, economical, environmental, or cultural. And those are the issues that are top of our mind, because ayikho ke iministry, Chair, that has been able to know what is happening all over the country on our fingertips. We can tell you whether the debate is alive. We can tell you the pulse of the nation around water issues. And our commitment until the last day, we should be able to reach out to those people. Thank you.
Thank you so much, DM Mahlobo and DM Chabalala. We must assure you that you have our support as the portfolio committee. Since day one, all the issues that we have raised, you have been prioritizing them. And even the DG and the team, thank you so much. We can see that you are a nation at work. You are hard at work in terms of providing the services to our communities. Those who don't have water now, let it be our responsibility to provide water through the support of municipalities and the water boards that we have established and capacitate. Thank you so much. I think we're done with the quarter two performance of the department.
and we'd want to appreciate everything that you have presented today, and thank you so much, and we want to release you so that we can continue with the business of the committee. Thank you so much to DMs and DG and team.
Thank you.
We really appreciate your presentation and your progress report.
Thank you.
DM Chabalala, the DG has committed to send some written reports in terms of the questions that were raised by members. Please follow them up. Can you submit them on or before next week, Tuesday?
Yes, we'll do that. Joy, we'll definitely work on that. Thank you so much, ma'am.
All right. Yeah. Nosipo, I think there are minutes, 31st of October 2023. Members, we are supposed to, when was the 31st? Oh, last week Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. Members, are you still here? Thank you so much. Let's deal with the minutes of the 31st October. I think it's our last Tuesday's meeting. Page one. Let's look. I hope that you have read them, all of you. Attendance. You know, I saw something in the attendance. Wait. Okay. Ms. Matuba's hand is up. Ms. Matuba, we're in page one.
Chair, I've raised my hand in advance. There is something that I need to correct in the last page.
The last page, okay. Now in page two. Are we in page one? Yeah, yes, page one. Attendance, department officials and members of parliament. Let's go to page two. Most of the water boards there's attendance of our officials, introduction, there's the content of the department, the content of the report as presented by the department. Page three, which page do you want to comment on, Honorable Matuba?
Last page.
We are not page five or last page?
Yes, ma'am.
Five, any comment? Go down. Around Nazipo. Yes. What is there? Oh, Matuba. Mrs. Matuba. Matuba. Yeah, Matuba. Yes, Honorable Matuba. I think it was the last.
It was the second page before that page.
Okay. Oh, it was the same name. Oh, yes. Your same name. You have
corrected
it. Can you correct it, Nosipo? I think you do have access to.
Yes, but it's talent that is lighting. I will correct it.
Okay, all right. Last page, page six, the meeting agenda at 12 o'clock. Any mover?
Matuba, I move, Chair.
Honorable Matuba, may you call
me. I second the proposal.
Honorable Peterson, may the second. Any dissenting view? With that. Thank you so much, Mitch. Minutes duly adopted. Is there any other item on the agenda?
It's still closing remarks, Chairperson.
Oh, we're done. Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Members. Honorable Mothala, I think you are happy. Your responses will follow in due course by the department. And thank you for attending and being active in the meeting, in holding the department accountable. Thank you so much. Meeting adjourned 2 o'clock. There's a sitting. Yes, 2 o'clock. Let's connect to a city. Those who are in Cape Town, let's go and attend physically to plenary. Thank you so much. Meeting adjourned, honorable members, and have a good day.
Thank you.